a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three. Cougars by 20.
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans. For Cougar fans. It's Cougar Sports Saturday. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. Home of BYU Sports. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back to Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio. And we don't want to waste any time as we have a BYU assistant coach waiting on the line. He is Ed Lamb. Ed, thanks for spending some time with us. We really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. It's my pleasure. Thank you, guys.
I want to start with the NFL draft, Coach. Chris Wilcox gets selected by Tampa Bay. We know that you had a hand in his recruitment and his development throughout his time at BYU. What did it mean for you to just see everything that Chris Wilcox was able to battle through and accomplish throughout his time at BYU to end up getting drafted by Tampa Bay?
Such an amazing story for him, primarily. And, you know, sometimes it gets a little overplayed, like who recruited a guy, who first spotted him. Really, the lion's share of the development is the position coach. It's our academic people on campus. It's the professors. It's the teammates. It's the guys who have come before. It's the guys who are successful right now in the NFL that our young guys aspire to be like. And, certainly I take a great deal of personal pride in being able to identify Chris early in his high school years and convince him that BYU was the right place for him and then to keep him motivated. But it's really a whole team effort, and I just couldn't be happier for him and his family. And, you know, I think the whole team really saw a great story transpire there.
And when you talk about that great story transpiring, BYU as a program gets five guys selected in the NFL draft. And I'm curious, Coach, have you seen maybe the current players in the program being motivated from the results that transpired at the draft as what maybe they can do in their futures with the game of football if they wish to, you know, pursue those professional dreams?
Oh, no question. You know, just looking at just in the time that I've been here during this stretch of my time here at BYU, you know, initially the questions were all about how are you going to replace Taysom Hill or Jamal Williams or Harvey Longy and guys like that. And the reality is that it's the job of the program, the job of the coaches, if you will, to not only replace them, but to build on the legacy that they've left and to make the team better. And I think that guys are doing that. Guys are aspiring to step into the shoes of great players. And what a culmination here this year to have so many guys get an opportunity. The draft is just an opportunity. I think they all understand that this is just a first step. It's time now to renew their goals. And success in the NFL is now really the only option going forward to continue to call that a successful step too. But, you know, from time to time, I have a chance to address the whole team as a team unit. And I actually did that on Pro Day this year and went through the stories of each of the guys who were invited to the NFL Combine this year And they were all amazing stories. I mean, just one example, Zach Wilson 12 months ago wasn't named our starting quarterback. You know, he was still battling for his job. And I think that's a great message. Number one, you know, for our coaches to keep an open mind, like, you know, were we wrong then? Do we have some ability to take credit for a piece of his development? You know, I don't know where the answer to that lies, but my message to the players was, you guys can all relate to this. You are all at times frustrated with playing time or production. And there are so many opportunities out there for you guys to see these seniors going through this process and to emulate the success that they've achieved.
Couple of those seniors, as we speak with Ed Lamb here on Cougar Sports Saturday, that have a crack at the NFL. Safeties from last year, Zane Anderson, Troy Warner, big shoes to fill. I know spring ball is a little bit in the rearview mirror, but when you think about which guys are going to step into those roles, who comes to mind? Who impressed you, and who stuck out as potential two deep guys at safety?
Well, the four guys that have the most experience are Chaz Ayu, who's played a couple of different positions, but you know, he certainly has the requisite skills to be able to play safety and help us out there. Malik Moore has played quite a few snaps on defense and special teams at the safety position, has played at the corner position, offers us some pretty good man coverage opportunities there when we want to get into more man-to-man based coverages. Hayden Livingston played a lot as a true freshman, has played a lot over the last couple of years, had some injuries last year that kind of, you know, he disappeared for a while from the lineup, but he did a really nice job in the spring. Jared Capisi, otherwise known as Easy Capisi, he played quite a bit last year for us, started a game or two as well. And so I would say those four guys are really coming from the standpoint of, they think they're the front runner, and right now there's no reason to put out any kind of solidified depth chart in ink. Let everybody compete and play it out. You know, really excited about the development of a lot of the young guys. Ammon Hanneman, Talon Alfrey really stood out in the spring. Dean Jones bounced back and forth between corner and safety, and he'll find a permanent home at safety. Feel really good about him. Javel Brown is another one that's paid his time, paid his dues, and is athletically really a freak, and I think can bring a lot to us as he grows in his understanding of the defense. There are several options at that safety position, and really like a lot of the guys in that room. It'll be a really fun fall camp to work it all out.
Talk with Ed Lamb here on Cougar Sports Saturday. Another guy that, you know, I know he was banged up a little bit, was George Udo. He's a versatile athlete that really embodies the versatility of the defense, honestly. I mean, he could play linebacker, he could play nickel, he could play pretty much anywhere you want him. Will he be in your safety room, or what's kind of the stats on him? Because I know he got banged up towards the end of last year.
Yeah, he's played so many different things. You know, last year he really settled in at the nickel position, and I think that's still his home. But, you know, he's a guy that because throughout the summer and maybe even the early part of fall camp, he'll be pretty limited as he comes back from his injury. He may be a guy that we do need to make a move, the versatility that you're talking about. If we lost a couple of bodies at the safety or the corner position or the linebacker position, he's played a versatile enough role that his understanding of all those positions, I think, is getting to the point where he can bounce around a little bit. But, you know, if you're asking about the plan, you know, the plan, I think, is to keep where he's at. He had great development last year, and I think he's reaching an upward trajectory of his career.
We're talking with Ed Lamb, talking about the safeties right now. And I'm curious, Ed, what goes into a change on the defensive staff in between seasons where you move from linebacker to safety? Take us behind the scenes on how that goes, because we've seen that a few times during your time here with Elisa Tuiaki, where roles have been shifted around. How does that happen? What are the conversations like?
Well, that's a really good question. I'm glad you asked it. I think we probably have to start with the fact that, between Elisha and Kalani and myself, our background, our experience is multiple positions. Well, Elisha and Kalani have coached on opposite, or they've coached on offense and defense during their career. And of course, as a head coach, you stop seeing yourself as an offensive or defensive coach, or most of us do. And you begin to see yourself as a coach of every position. And so, you know, in our particular room, whether Kalani happens to be in there or not, it really is discussion based. Everything is wide open. It's conversation based. And I think that, you know, when Preston joined us, his only or primary background was in the secondary. And I think he really, enjoyed hearing all the discussion about front play and gaps up front and pressures, how to pressure the run and how to pressure the pass and how those are different. And he's just expressed a real desire to develop himself as a coordinator. So he has really, from almost the first time he got here, he's been asking for an opportunity to maybe coach a different position. I'm comfortable at all the positions. The majority of my coaching career has been in the secondary. I really enjoy that. So I'm happy to make a change. And then, you know, we had a chance to add Kevin Kloon. And so, you know, I know that's a long answer to your question, but if you think about Kloon's background and some of the other backgrounds and what Preston wanted to do, it's really a no-brainer at that point. If you're considering everybody's experience and hopes in the business, then that's exactly what we should have done. I think we did the right thing.
A few more moments here with Ed Lamb here on Cougar Sports Saturday. Earlier in the interview, you talked about EC Kapisi. The way that I kind of see it, it looks like he's the only senior in that safety room right now. How did that discussion go in the offseason with him where he decided to use that opportunity to come back and play one more year? Because it's funny looking at the roster online, you see his name and you see 2014. You're like, geez. Jared's been a part of the BYU program for a long, long time.
Yeah, good question. That gives some insight into that. And it also applies to, you know, you hear the term redshirting a lot. And now there's, the COVID redshirt. It's really all the same process. We don't talk about the impact of a redshirt, or there's no official paperwork for redshirt or COVID redshirt. Really, the way it always happens is you come in, you prepare like crazy, you play as much as you can play. And when you're done with your 4 years, you and your position coach and the head coach sit down together, maybe the coordinator as well, and you guys discuss whether it's worthwhile for the program and for the player individually to come back and play another year. And that's when the red shirt actually comes into effect, or in this case, the COVID comes into effect. And so Jared had that discussion. He wanted to come back, felt like he had some things to prove, had some breakthroughs last year, but also some setbacks on the field. And he's really training in a way that tells me that he made the right decision to come back.
Yeah, roster construction in college football today and college sports in general is just so fascinating with the COVID year and the transfer portal. Everything is just it's kind of this new era of college sports. And I'm curious, Coach, with the transfer portal, BYU, it seems like, is one of those programs where you guys don't lose many players to that portal, where I see, in basketball and football, a lot of programs around the country, they're losing a lot of guys and key guys. What do you feel is maybe the success of the program in retaining guys to want to stay part of the program, even an extra year like EC? What's kind of the success? What's causing that?
Well, if I put my finger on one thing, it's Kalani. I mean, the head coach drives the culture of the program, the amount of fun. And, I think I need to define fun. Like to us, fun isn't going to Seven Peaks or the movies or bringing out the slip and slide. Like fun is working hard and seeing it pay off in football and doing it in a way where players and coaches are respectful toward one another. And Kalani just embodies that in everything that he does. And so I don't think that, generally we're going to have a lot of guys that are dissatisfied with their experience in the program. I think there's always a chance that there are going to be players who feel like that they could have a better opportunity to play more on the field, to play a more significant role somewhere else. And we're comfortable with that. In fact, I really like the new transfer rules because I think that's bringing some freedom to the players. But the other thing is it's bringing some freedom to the coaches. We now feel like that we can have more honest conversations about where guys should be in their career and that they can transfer freely. And, just be very honest about where we see their development. Whereas before we had there were some artificial processes in place to almost force players to stick around and force coaches to keep them around, like APR. And right now APR is on the chopping block with the NCAA. And for those that don't know exactly what that is, that's kind of a tracking of a school's graduation rate, but also retention. And that was really an artificially created way for the NCAA to force coaches and players to stay in one place. And once the ball starts moving towards more player liberation to make decisions on their best behalf, then I think, you know, the flip side of that coin is that programs are doing the same thing. And I think in the end, it's good for everybody, players and coaches and programs.
Coach, I'm glad you bring – that's fascinating insight. Thank you for that. And I'm glad you bring up the slip and slide earlier, because I remember back in the day with Lavelle, I think when you were a player in Kalani, did Lavelle go on that thing one time and he chipped his tooth on the slip and slide, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, and that's great. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up for those of my, you know, my former teammates and fellow alums that maybe think that I'm you know, bagging on that tradition. That it was a great tradition, and it still would be. But
bring it back,
you know, yeah, Lavelle did chip a tooth. It was all big on the watermelon bust, is what we used to call it. It was a blast back in the day. We all looked forward to it, and our guys would enjoy that still. And we still can do things like that on occasion. But it's certainly not when we get to senior night or the end of the season banquet and say, hey, what do you remember most? We don't want players saying, well, it's just, you know, that slip and slide, coach. That's the best day of my life.
Oh man, that's good stuff. We're obviously still a few months away from fall camp and getting to the thick of the season, but I would imagine you guys feel like there's a really unique opportunity at BYU coming off such an outstanding year where you win double digit wins, and how you follow that up. You have a tougher schedule, but momentum is such a key part of sports, and especially in college football. How do you think this current team can follow up what happened in 2020 and just continue to build upon the success that you guys have had over the past couple of years?
Yeah, it really goes back to what you guys already know, and everybody inherently knows. I think as fans, and I'll call myself a fan, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, I'm not talking about BYU, but I'm a fan of different college professional sports teams, different sports. And I think a lot of times as a fan, you look at the schedule and you say, man, if we could trade, if we could only win two out of these three, which would it be, you know, and stuff like that. But as an athlete, don't think that way. I don't care if you're playing ping pong or a video game. Like, it, you know, every game you play is you're present. You're in the moment. You're enjoying that moment. And that really is the key. And I don't think athletes do that very often. If anything, you know, coaches and you know, whatever the players might be reading on in the media or social media can kind of sidetrack it. But I think our team and our coaches are, you know, on a streak right now, dating back to last year, where it's just taking one game at a time for what it's worth. I think COVID forced that, a lot of times not even knowing if we were going to have an opponent or who the opponent would be. And so it really lended itself toward getting us in the right mindset. And it's something that we plan to continue to emphasize as coaches and try to get out of our players.
Coach, before we let you go, I'm surprised that Matt hasn't asked this, because I think within BYU media, he's the resident special teams guy, but we got to work something in because you are the special teams coordinator. I'm curious, Jake Oldroyd comes back and somehow he's still a sophomore, he was on that team in 2016 against Arizona, and he's teamed up with Ryan Rico. How special is this tandem, a kicker and punter for BYU? Because it feels like quite the group that you got there in that special teams room.
Oh, they sure are. And there are some young players in there too, that I think are going to have a bright future behind them. But the way those guys work together, I think that's a legacy that will live on for several years around here. There's, you know, you already know this, I'm sure, but I'll bring it up anyway. Ryan Rico is the holder for Jake Oldroyd, right? And Ryan is the backup place kicker, at least on, at least in our kickoffs. And then Jake is the backup punter, or was last year, you know? And so these guys, they're not only competing with each other every day, but they're supporting each other. Can you imagine the trust that you have to develop when the backup kicker is holding for the starting kicker? I mean, it's very easy to turn that ball a quarter of a turn. It's very easy to put it off a 3 or 4 degrees to the right or to the left or front or back. And Ryan's a true professional in what he does. He's a punter first and wants to be a punter and a holder in the NFL. And Jake wants to be a place kicker. And, you know, the goals that they have for themselves and each other and the way they work together, it's really incredible. It's fun to be their coach. And Gavin Fowler really is their position coach. He's the one that chases them around during the off season and with academics. He meets with them every day during the season. And he's doing a tremendous job with those guys.
He is Ed Lamb. And Ed, as always, we appreciate your insight and your time. And we know it's valuable, and we greatly appreciate it here on Cougar Sports Saturday.
Matt, Mitch, thank you for what you guys do for us, and really appreciate the chance to talk to you today.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. they pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.